And we are back for hour number two of the big program today, Wednesday, December the 11th, 2019, 18 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great program today. Actually, we're going to do one of my favorite holiday traditions that we have been doing on this show. I believe this is our sixth year we visited with this person, and this year we've got something very special to tell you about this person, who will be doing something very special this coming Friday, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Got to do a little bit of homework here, though, or housekeeping, in regard to the program. Had a lot of fun yesterday with Cousin Brucey, legendary New York DJ who's currently on the Sirius XM satellite radio channel 6, counting down the greatest Christmas songs of all time. Cousin Brucey was tremendous yesterday, and do want to remind you that tomorrow morning, between 9, 10, and 10 a.m., we've got to talk about it a little on the show. There's a lot going on in the world, certainly coinciding with Christmas this year as far as news goes. And tomorrow morning, to help us sort all of that out between 9, 10, and 10 a.m., we are going to be joined by legendary ABC News White House correspondent, also co-host of the Top 10 television series news magazine Primetime Live, and also co-host of the Sunday morning program for so many years, This Week with Sam and Cokie, the legendary newsman himself, Sam Donaldson, live tomorrow morning on this program between 9, 10, and 10 a.m. to help us sort out everything that's going on in Washington and everything that will be going on over the next week or so before the 20th of December. So that's coming up tomorrow morning, and I think we might have a special guest on Friday, which I can't announce yet, but Friday is Friday the 13th. Did anybody know that? Friday the 13th in December. How about that? So that is coming up this Friday, and that's all the other great things we've got planned as we keep on heading in to that Christmas holiday. And speaking of the Christmas holiday, as I said when we started here, this is one of my favorite holiday traditions that we've done. I believe this is the sixth year in a row, is we go to a place not too far from here, to be honest, Santa Claus, Indiana, and we talk with a lady who has been doing something there since 1944. What is she doing there? She is Santa Claus's favorite elf because she helps sort through all of the letters that come into Santa Claus, Indiana, which, by the way, the address there, Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Been doing it since 1944. And a very cool thing for everybody who's been listening to this program for so many years, this woman, this lady, will be on the Kelly Clarkson Show, national television show, this coming Friday. And that is on in this area on WCMH television. So don't miss that. If you want to see our guest on television, check it out on Friday on the Kelly Clarkson Show. Our guest is the amazing person who's kept the holidays alive for so many years. Always a pleasure to talk with Pat Cook. Pat, how are you?
I'm great. How are you this morning? We're busy at work here this morning already.
I bet so. Pat, when does the whole process start each year with the letters?
Normally, the whole process starts the Monday after the Thanksgiving week, but this year, since the calendar was different and Thanksgiving came the last weekend instead of the third weekend, we actually came in before Thanksgiving because we know that we're going to be receiving a lot of letters and have a lot of work to do to help Santa to get these done. So we came in the week before Thanksgiving, took Thanksgiving week off, at least part of it, and then came back. So we're on schedule now to probably have a booming record year. We know that we've already answered 12,700 and something, and we still have a few days to go. But we really are receiving a lot of letters, and Santa's happy that we're helping him because he's so busy, you know.
Absolutely. Now, when you first went in the week before Thanksgiving this year, what was the mail like at that point?
It was really heavy because children visit the park here, Holiday World, all summer, and also because they visit the museum and village and write letters. So it's interesting because those letters are different because they're asking, is my elf on the shelf going to come? And I saw Santa today at Santa Claus, Indiana, and they're different than the ones children write in November, December, but they're still wonderful letters from Santa Claus, and there were a bunch of them.
Mm, that is great. Now, Pat, how long are you guys in the shop answering these letters up until? What date do you guys cut it off?
We've named December 20th as our last day, particularly for anybody like a school, because I'm pretty sure that'll be the last day of school also. So we must get them out by December 20th. You know, it depends on what day Christmas falls on. If it's like over a weekend like that, you know, the mail doesn't go out on Sunday. Here it only goes out a half a day on Saturday, so we have to finish on the 20th. So please get them in today.
Absolutely. And again, if people still do have time to send them, it's the 11th, but you got to do it quick. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. And we're next door here in Ohio. Now, Pat, is every year a record-breaking year like this year?
No, they're not all record-breaking. I think it depends upon when we get more publicity or something happens that on the news, like the Kelly Clarkson show, for instance, or it varies, but it's always between 20,000 to 25,000. So I guess that variation isn't too big. And it also varies with the weather, because I remember one year when we got no mail one day because of the snow. So that backed us up completely and, you know, created a little bit of an emergency. But it's between 20 and 25,000.
You know, Pat, I was thinking about this when I saw the advertisement for you being on Kelly Clarkson this Friday. Now, that will be December the 13th, Friday the 13th. Do you think
Friday the
13th. What a day. Do you think this, with being so late in the season, might cause an influx of letters?
It may. That's all I can say. It may. I hope they come, like, you know, earlier than later.
Now,
we do try to go through them, and if somebody's really close to our area, you know, that might get there. But if you're from California or state of Oregon or something like that, it's probably not going to get there. And we don't think getting a letter after Christmas is a good thing. We think, you know, they should get that before Christmas. So we hope, and especially the teachers, as I just said, we are getting a lot from the schools right now, and we're trying to get them out really hard, because we want the kids to get them. Some of them go directly to the school, so they have to get them at the school before a school lets out.
Now, how many people are there maintaining this operation throughout the season?
Well, you know, people ask that question all the time. We have a base of probably 6 to 7 people who are absolutely dedicated people who come in 4 to 5 days a week. They have a life. They have families. They have grandchildren that are on Christmas plays and things, and they're wonderful. So these are the ones that really keep us going. Then we have groups. And, you know, like last night, I had a group from a bank. They come every year. So that means we stay late in the evening, some of us, and let them come in after work. We have teachers, large groups of teachers who want to come after school. So, you know, our base during the day is 5 to 6, 7 people, and they're very good at it because they do it all the time and are very dedicated and care about it. And that's what I care about, is that they're done with heart, you know, that they really care and get these letters out. Sometimes, well, we have groups of young people like junior optimists and exchange students that help us. And so, you know, it varies. I'd say our base group, I don't know, 100 people maybe altogether, but we depend on volunteers very heavily. But, you know, I insist that the letters be done properly. and that we respect every child and make every letter personal, because that's very important. You know, the biggest thing to me is that children still believe. Isn't that a miracle? With all the access they have to information, it's just unbelievable to me. I think it's wonderful.
It is. It's absolutely one of the most wonderful things, I think, going. But it amazes me that with a group of 100 people and a base group of 7 or 8 people, that 20 to 25,000 letters get answered every season. And we're talking in the course of a month. That, how many hours do you put in a year, Pat?
Lots of hours. Many days, 12 hours. And, you know, there's a man in here right now. I mean, some of our good volunteers on a Sunday will go out and go to church and do things, and then they'll come in because they know that we need to get the letters out. You know, their heart is in it, and that's what's important. I don't know. We just know we'll get them done. We have to. We will.
Absolutely. Now, Pat, how did the appearance on the Kelly Clarkson show come about?
I'm not sure how it came about, but
they contacted us.
We have a visitors bureau, and they get contacts constantly from different places wanting, you know, interviews or pictures or stories, especially at Christmas. So that's probably how that happened. We've gotten another one from another show. So, you know, they contact the visitors bureau, then they contact us. And then, I tell you a funny story because I'm 88 this year. And they told the Kelly Clarkson show, well, you know, you need to talk to Mrs. Cook. She's the head elf and has been here many, many years, and she's 88 years old. And they said, well, would she be able to fly out here? And then after that, they asked for us to do a Skype. I think they wanted to see if I could talk. So anyway. After that, we got a notice that, yes, you're on, come out on that date. And they told me I had worn a sweater that said Believe on it, and they wanted me to wear the same thing and come out. We left Louisville, I think, on Friday. The taping was on Saturday. We got back on Sunday, so it was a whirlwind trip. And they were very kind and very hospitable. It was, of course, very, the producer was very, and I'm an organized person. I want things right. So I'm sure it's going to be a very short segment.
Well, a little preview of what's going to be on Friday. What kind of things did you and she talk about?
Well, she asked me if I made toys, and I said, no, I don't make toys. Santa makes the toys. And then I said, I'm from this magic town of Santa Claus, Indiana, and I'm at the Santa Claus Museum and Village, and we answer the letters that the children write to help Santa answer the letters. I think that's what it said. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. Will you read some letters? So they had gotten letters from my Skype that they wanted me to read, and I did read, I think it was 3 of those. So it was good. You know, I wish we'd have had more time. And I think you need to come here to get the spirit, really, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of people, there's still time this season. We're here in Ohio. If people want to come to Santa Claus, Indiana, what's it like right now, this time of year?
Really busy. Really busy. Lots of people visit. And it's wonderful for the town. And that was, you know, my main concern always is the town, that I'm representing it well and being hospitable, because that's the way people love to be treated, like we like to be treated. And I hope the town is very busy. We're having our annual parade on Saturday, and I just heard it's going to rain 50%, but we'll get out there and walk in the rain, and we'll do it anyway, you know. And there are many, many people visiting. They come to go to the Christmas store and the toy shop, the toy store, and the toy store and the candy castle. And then the campground has the Land of Lights. They have the story of Rudolph. They have the story of Rudolph in the Land of Lights, which is at night. So there's just lots of things to do, and people, I think they have a wonderful time. They come to the museum, the children write letters. We have a Christmas program
a storyteller here that tells the story of Christmas and about St. Nicholas. We'll have some music. I mean, there's just lots of things going on. So we have a lot of visitors.
We
love that.
I can imagine. It sounds like a tremendous thing. And I would implore anybody in our listening audience, that sounds like a great thing to do, because it's really a day trip from where we are here in Ohio. So, you know, maybe I'll make a trip. I've never been to Santa Claus, Indiana. I'm going to have to do it.
You must do it. We'd love to have you.
I would love to come. Now, Pat, we do this every year, but I think it's a story that is so great. It started with your father. How did this all come to be that this happened, and how many years ago was it?
Well, we're told, and there's so much history, which is why I started the museum, that letters have been answered for 100 years by postmasters. Now, of course, I'm only 88, so I'm missing a couple of years there. But the postmasters probably did that. Our post office, you know, was named Santa Claus in 1856. So we had a post office by that time. And I know that in 1930, my father came home from World War One, and he had always talked about this town when he was in the Navy. And so the sailors asked him to be Santa on the ship, the USS New York, in Boston Harbor, New York Harbor. And he agreed to do that. And he told me many times, I made the oath that if I could come back and be alive, I would be Santa Claus. So when he came back, he became Santa Claus, and he also began helping with the letters, because by that time it was a huge, huge, it was hard to do. The postmaster was also getting more mail. And so my dad started taking it out to veterans, to the VFW, to the Legion Post, to the monasteries, to the typing classes. Now we don't let the letters go out of our room, because we watch very carefully the children's names and addresses. But, you know, that was a long time ago. And so he started in 30 when I became about 12 years old. In 40-something, I started helping. And it was just part of our life. And he was very, 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 very concerned about children believing and that the letters be answered. So now my daughter's helping and my granddaughters are helping. So I think the tradition and legacy will be continued.
That is tremendous. When you've been doing this since the 1940s, as you have said, what does that mean to you? How does that change what the Christmas season means to you, that you spend so much time during the Christmas season doing this since the 40s?
Well, for me, this is the, you know, it's what Christmas is for me. Of course, I love Christmas with my family, but I just devote the whole time that I have to this because I think it's so very important. There's so many people and so many children that say, I hope you answer my letter. There are parents who write back and say, he's being told you're not real. And then we write a letter, and then we get another letter saying, thank you for that. I think it's a really important part of Christmas, a very important part of Christmas, the belief in this spirit that is so loving and so caring and that takes care of other people. And that's what we want children to do, right? Learn to be caring and to learn to share and to take care of others like St. Nicholas did, like Santa Claus does. I just think it's a very important ministry, and I know it will be continued, and I'm just very honored to be able to do it. I love doing it. People that come and do it one time come back and say, I got hooked, because you feel so good and you're so glad you can help do this. As I said, kids don't believe a lot of things, but imagine this. They still believe in Santa Claus. Isn't that great? They should. We all should.
Absolutely. Pat, what is it about this time of year that changes people? We've talked about this.
What is it? Right.
You're right. What is it?
You know, I have a little plaque in my home. It says, keep the Christmas spirit all year long. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful if everybody was so happy and everybody was, the families came together and kids were happy and mothers and dads and grandmas and grandpas and they were, giving to other people. I wish we could, but, you know, we're human, so it kind of wears off.
It does, unfortunately. But in a place like Santa Claus, Indiana, if I were to come there in the summer, in July, what would it be like?
It'd be Christmassy. Everything is named Christmas. The streets are named for Christmas. There's one street that's called Main Street. It's the only one. We have some really unusual Christmas names because my husband and I went through the Bible and songs and books and found every Christmas name we could find. In fact, when they were naming Main Street, they said, well, Mrs. Cook and her husband used up all the Christmas names. I think we did. We even have a chestnut by the fire. And we have a Cupid, which, of course, is not the Cupid from Valentine's Day, but the Cupid from Santa's reindeer. Balthazar, Melchior, and Caspar, which I myself did. Those are the three magi, the three kings. So everything is Christmassy, holiday foods, evergreen, everything. Everything's Christmassy. So when you come in the summertime, Santa is at the amusement park Holiday World, and the stores are open, Christmas store is open, the museum's open. And so we're still a Christmas town. We're called America's Christmas Hometown.
That is a tremendous honor. If your father could come back today in 2019 and see what the operation has become and that you're still at it at 88 years of age and the amount of numbers that it's a record-breaking year and you're on national television on Friday, what would he think, do you think?
He would be thrilled. He would be very happy. He worked so hard for this town and for the spirit of Santa Claus. He would really, really be happy to see what has come about. He'd be disappointed in a few things that have happened, but mostly he'd be very proud of the town and the people, and I hope of me, because I loved him dearly, and he was such a great role model for what he did for children and for people. I know he would be proud.
Pat, when we look at, I just think about the postage. How is the postage handled on all these letters?
The postage is $10,000, and that's just a round number. You know, we get letters from all over the world, and this year that's even bigger. I mean, Taiwan is huge. And the only thing we've thought, maybe there was a story in the paper from Taiwan or whatever, where they get their news. Russia's big. Malaysia, Belarus, Germany, Netherlands. I mean, we're just getting letters from everywhere. And then people say, well, how do you answer those? I can say honestly, almost all of those, 98%, are written in beautiful English and beautiful spelling and beautiful punctuation, and they want a letter from Santa and from the United States. So the postage for those letters is even more than the regular postage. And we rely on people giving us donations, and we get some donations, and then, you know, whatever we can pull together from the museum, or we make it, let me say that.
That is a tremendous thing. Now, Pat, you having seen a tremendous amount of these letters this season, what are the kids in America asking for this year? What are the popular items?
Slime. Nintendo Switch. That's a big one. Fortnite. Xboxes. iPhones, yeah, iPhones and cases,
Barbies,
and unicorns, yes. And you know what we really love is when their few children every once in a while say, I'll do with less, will you help the children that don't have anything? That's wonderful. That's just, that kid's got it, you know?
That's the spirit of this season.
Or, you know, they'll say, please, get something from my mommy. She worked so hard. That's just a really great young person.
Mm. Over the years that you have been doing this, is there some gift that just always maintains, that has stood the test of time throughout the years, maybe stuffed animals, something that you always get a few letters each year asking for?
Well, you know, we always get dolls. I mean, you know, little girls all want dolls. And usually, you know, we get letters written by mother saying my child's 2 years old, but she wants dolls. But I think that's a pretty staple. And stuffed animals, as you said, they're, you know, they go with, like, Frozen, the movie. When something big comes up in a Disney movie, then that's very popular. The Elf on the Shelf has just been amazing. They worry about their elf, and they wonder if he's going to come back, and they wonder, you know, if he's telling Santa they haven't been good. That's been a huge, huge thing.
I know a few years ago you wrote a book and published a lot of these letters over the years. Is there a letter that sticks out in your mind as one that was touching and one that was maybe a little funny from the children?
Well, in the book, the first one, which was in the 30s, I read that to tour groups because that letter was written in cursive. The paper is real, you know, I found it after my father passed away. And the child goes on to name all her brothers and sisters, like 12, 11, 10, 9. And then she says, and the others are dead, you know, which was in the 30s when there was a lot of that because they couldn't take care of children or they would get smallpox or whatever. And, you know, in that letter also, they said, Mama never wants anything. Isn't that true? You know, she has all these children, so she just thinks about them. I just think that letter, I guess, is the same even now, because we still get some letters like that. You know, I had one not long ago that please write to my friend who's being bullied at school. So, you know, I think there's so many good kids and so many good parents, and we see a lot of good. We really do. The bad thing for us is seeing children who are so concerned about where they're living or what's happening with their parents, and that's heartbreaking. So we hope our letter brings them a little comfort and a little happiness.
I would imagine that's got to be a big part of this time of year. Is there an emotional toll that is taken after reading these letters?
Oh, we sit around this table, and I mean, we cry sometimes, and we laugh, and we go, oh, you know. And I think that's, if you're here, you see what happens to us. We become so involved in this and so concerned and so careful to try to make sure that you're still there?
Yep.
Make sure that every letter gets answered. I mean, I hate the technology, but I know it's necessary. But, you know, we look up zip codes and we look up addresses to make sure every child gets a letter. And once in a while, it's impossible because there is no zip. There is no address whatsoever. There's just a name. And, you know, we wish we could say, well, Santa knows where you are, but we don't have, the post office doesn't know how to get this letter to you. But this is why we hope that somebody looks at the letter and makes sure that we can get a letter back. It breaks my heart not to be able to.
I completely understand. How did email and the advent of the internet change how this is done? Has it changed it in any way?
No. 1 year I was advised or told, oh, you need to do email. And foolishly I accepted that advice. And what we got was Susie Jones, what they want, age 5, boom. We got no heart, we got no spirit, we got no information. We didn't get the child or the mother to write a letter and send it to us, and we worked very hard. There were so many of those. And I thought, I'm not doing this because it doesn't tell us who that child is and what that child feels and what that child thinks. It's just names and numbers. So it hasn't changed. We don't do emails.
Yeah. Have the children changed, doing something this long now, have the children changed in any way over the years, or is it basically kids are kids?
I think it's basically kids are kids. Yeah. I really do. There's good ones and bad ones. I tell you, the funniest one, one of the funniest, I love it, this little girl said, well, I've been mediocre this year. I love mediocre. But, you know, no, I, you know, the things they ask for has changed. Their family situations are probably different than they were. I know they're different than they were in the past. They probably have more things to be concerned about, but they're still believing and they're still wanting that magic of Christmas. And they're just funny. Oh, they're so funny. I mean, some of them write letters that you just wouldn't believe, and we share those. You know, we can't write cursive anymore. We have to print. And most of us grew up practicing cursive, so we've had to change that. But I think children are still children, you know. Like some of them will say, one of the boys said, well, I've been pretty good. I haven't killed my brother, you know. I mean, and don't brothers always fight, you know. I mean, it's just pretty natural for all of that. We have a dog. Please, we're going to try to keep him from eating the cookies we leave out. I mean, you know. Even though things are different, they're very much the same.
What kind of things does Santa Claus write back to the children?
Well, Santa Claus says things like, we are working extra hard to get ready for our big trip on Christmas Eve. The reindeer are practicing for our flight, and the elves are keeping me updated on boys and girls all over the world. I know you're trying to do your best to be good and help others. Remember to be kind. It's one of the most important things you do. Things like that. And then at the bottom of the letter, after we have read every single letter, we say something that refers to what that child wrote to Santa. Like, I've been a good girl. Well, Santa thanks you very much. Keep on being good. If they send us a donation, we definitely say thank you for the donation. If they say they're going to leave out cookies and eggnog or pizza and beer for Santa, we thank them for that.
Whatever works. That is exactly right. Now, Pat, another interesting thing in our final 10 minutes here. Now, in 2006, you founded the Santa Claus Museum. Tell us why you did that and how that came about.
I did that because I realized as I moved around in this area that people didn't know the history of the town. They didn't know the history of Christmas Lake Village, which my husband and I founded. They didn't know the history of the name. And I think history is so very important. I think we mustn't forget the people that came before us and that laid the foundation for what we're doing today and for the area in which we live, which is a wonderful community. Mm. And I had so many things because of my father having been here so long and all my family and the family of my husband. And I thought, you know, somehow I need to share this. It doesn't need to stay in a box. And I really wanted to share the history and how the town was named, how the park came to be, the amusement park, everything that my husband did in this area and my father, you know, both men in my life, what they did here. You don't want it forgotten. I want it to be remembered correctly. things get mixed up about who did what, right?
That's right. History can turn that way sometimes. Pat, is there anybody who has been with you for maybe 50 years at this point? Are there long-term people?
Well, not 50 years, probably. Yeah, there's one person that was on the board when we incorporated as Santa's Elf Incorporated in 76. So how long ago has that been? 50, yeah. She is actually my sister-in-law, and she's in Florida now, but, you know, she's still around and still on our board of directors for the museum. Mm-hmm. So I know that. There are a lot of older people around in the area that, you know, really support us and come in and visit, and that's great.
You know, I notice a lot of groups these days are having trouble getting volunteers. It doesn't seem to be the case in this particular instance.
Well, you know, we could use more, but I guess the thing is, you know, I'm looking at the directions now, and, you know, I'm a very organized person, and I want these letters to be correct. Like, at one point, a long time ago, somebody wrote something, a letter that was strictly not what they should have said. So they have to be supervised, and we have to be sure that our volunteers understand how important this is. And that bothers me. So, you know, we read every letter, and we choose an appropriate reply, and we write a personal message at the bottom. But we have to be very careful what we say. Honestly, there are people of different faiths now, which didn't happen in the past. And there are things we have to be really careful with. And I call myself the quality control person, because I don't want anybody to be offended by anything that's put in a letter. And I have to let every volunteer know that. So the best thing to do is to have volunteers who are very consistent and know the rules and keep them and have the same wonderful feeling that I have about it. And you know, that takes time.
I bet it does. You know, that's interesting. I never thought about that. But what part does, because religion and Santa Claus sometimes don't coexist as great as some people would like them to. Is that ever a problem in the letters?
Well, it's not a problem for us, and you'd be surprised at how many young people write in that vein. We have to be careful, however, that we don't, because there are, you know, faiths, or if you want to, sects, groups that do not believe in Santa Claus, do not believe in the real meaning of Christmas, if that's what you want to call it. And so we don't really get into that. You know, all the letters say the good things about being kind and being caring and sharing, and that's really what's important, that it's how we live more than what we say, right?
That's exactly right. Pat, doing this since the 1940s, what have you learned? What lessons have you taken away from this period in your life?
Well, I think probably the thing that I feel is that people are still so very, very good. And children are very, very good. And what we hear so many times are the bad things, you know? And we see so much good in our letters and in the people who are helping us. And it's such a shame we don't talk more about that and encourage it more. And that's what I say every time, like last night to a group of women. You know, say something uplifting to the children. Say something, thank you for being good. Try hard to keep being good. Anything that will encourage them instead of, you know, something negative. People are really basically good. And, of course, Christmas time, they're better than ever.
That is
true. I think that's really, it's really a pity that we hear so much bad news.
I would agree with you. Pat, every year we see Santa Claus. He comes out after Thanksgiving and sticks with us through Christmas. In your opinion, what is the legacy of Santa Claus?
It's the same it's been forever and ever. And, you know, children ask, how old is Santa Claus? And my answer is usually Santa Claus is ageless. Santa Claus is forever, because Santa Claus is the spirit of loving and caring and sharing and bringing joy and helping. And so that will never die, ever. I hope and I think it won't, as long as human beings are open to that grace that we can have to do those things.
What is the mood like in the office? Like this morning, you're there this morning and you're working on the letters and it's bright and early. What's the mood in the office?
It's always good. It's always good. You know, they're here because they want to be here. We usually laugh a lot and joke a lot, and we have Christmas music playing, and we feed each other. And it's a great camaraderie. This morning, it's only three people with Nell and five. Well, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 in the room right now. But once again, you know, people have lives, and before Christmas, there are things they have to get done. Tonight we'll have a large group of young women teachers who I've had year after year and who are so much fun and know how to do letters and have children of their own. And so that will be a big, big help to get a bunch of letters out. So, you know, the mood is always a good mood. They come because they know they're They are into this. They get it.
Absolutely. Do you ever foresee a time when this is something that you do not do anymore personally?
When what?
That you would personally not do this anymore.
Oh, no. I don't see any time at all. I think I'll probably come in here in a wheelchair. And we have a ramp out front.
So nothing, it can happen. Nothing wrong with that. You know, Pat, this whole thing, Santa Claus, Indiana, and P.O. Box 1, and the Santa Claus letters, and all the years that this has been going on, when people look back on it, because you have restored and preserved the history of this long after we're all gone, how do you hope people look back on this creation of this, the time you put in, and the things that happened during the 20th and 21st century?
Well, I hope they look back on it and carry it on, mostly. I hope they realize always how important it is and how important it is to do it properly and what they are contributing to the lives of our future. I hope that that happens, and I feel sure that it will. I do feel that way. There are just lots of good people that will see that that happens.
I think you are right. We do want to let people know again, you can still get your letter out, but do it as quick as possible. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Also, you can go visit Santa Claus, Indiana. The museum is there. There's a parade this weekend. Also, Pat Cook, who's been with the Letters to Santa program since the early 1940s, her father started it, will be on the National Kelly Clarkson Show this coming Friday. What an event that'll be. Pat, it is always a pleasure. It's one of our traditions to visit with you every holiday season. I always am thankful that you set aside the time because I know it's your busy season, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and thank you for everything you've done for so many years.
You're very welcome, and Merry Christmas to you and all your staff.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Pat Cook, Santa's number one elf. Always a lot of fun to talk with her. Charlie Evers is right around the corner. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Not a creature was stirring. Not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney, in hopes that St. Nicholas